scripture today is found in Hebrews. Chapter 9, verse 12. And I'm going to read verse 11 too. I think it helps fill in just a little bit. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. In verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And we'll turn time over now to Pastor Sean.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath to you. Happy Yom Kippur to you. And you're going, well, why are you talking about a Jewish festival? Well, you're going to find out. I have to share something with you, though. I was thinking, so normally for a message, I'm probably 35, 40 minutes. Well, for communion, that would make the whole communion service go long. And I was just praying, Lord, you know what? What should I talk about? And so Mark Hersher comes up and he said, you know, this is a very unusual occurrence, this coming Sabbath. And I said, well, you know, what's that? And he said, because Yom Kippur can fall all over the place, and there's more opportunity for it to fall on a Tuesday than it is on the seventh day Sabbath. And I got to thinking, you know what, I should check into that. And I said that to him, I should check into that. And so I can't go maybe quite as deep as I wanted to, but as an answer to my prayer, I was given what it is that I should talk about today. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And anyway, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the pastor appreciation gift. As we all know, the circumstances surrounding my being here was a little less than typical of the whole conference process and so on. But I still feel that God called here as well. And so I very much appreciate being the pastor here. There's one request. I don't know if all of you guys saw it, but we now have an interim conference president. Were you guys all aware of that? And he was the conference president a while back, Don Livesay. And to tell you how small of a world it is, his last year as the Northern California Conference Youth Director and the one who was there for summer camp was my first year as a staff member. So I worked under Don Livesay at Leone Meadows in 1990. And so I ran into him up at what's called the Propel Conference and got to talk to him. And he's just an absolute great guy. So on that interim level, I really think that he's going to do a really good job. And the neat thing is every Friday, the VP for administration sends out what's called the Friday Five. It's 5 points of what's going on with the conference that week. And so it's been nice, that level of communication, which she's done. It's been great. But she said already he's just diving in and really saying, okay, let's start trying to move things in a really good direction. So I'm excited because I have that history with him, and I know the type of man that he is. But keep in prayer the permanent process, because I really don't think that he wanted to retire out here in Oregon. So he's out here temporarily. So anyway, but let's get into the message. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for your blessings. And thank you especially, Lord, as we are going to look into the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. I just want to thank you and praise you for the completed work in Jesus. And so, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would come into our hearts, come into our minds, and just have us come away drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I already said, this is unusual for Yom Kippur to actually fall on the seventh day Sabbath. It's actually very unusual. So we would call it, in our term, Yom Kippur, we would call it Day of Atonement. So to us, the Day of Atonement, you can talk to me here. The Day of Atonement, why is that so significant to Israel back then? And why is it so significant for us today? Because it's still significant. What's that? So, isn't it something to be able to rest in knowing that what Jesus did is absolutely sufficient for every sin that could ever be committed, ever? And that's the significance of the Day of Atonement. And we're not going to talk about, you know, the keeping of feasts and all that stuff like that. That's not what we're going to talk about. But the idea and the understanding that what Jesus did can cover every single sin that could ever be committed, so long as we're willing to give it to him. And that's the significance of the Day of Atonement. Because what would it feel like? So how many of us have sinned? Okay, some of you are actually a little bit deceived. You didn't raise your hands. But let me ask you a question. When you've done something and you know that it's wrong or you know that it's sinful, what did the weight of guilt feel like at times? Sometimes it can feel really, really, really heavy. Other times it's like, well, it seemed like kind of a little bit more of an insignificant thing. But really, the truth of the matter is the weight of our sins are extremely, extremely heavy. But the Day of Atonement and its intent is so that the people would understand that God says, let's do a transaction here. All that stuff that's heavy, give it to me, and I'm going to actually exchange it for something that's light. You like that transaction? I really like that transaction. So Yom Kippur, hopefully I don't butcher the pronunciation of this, it's actually known as Shabbat Shabbaton. And what that translates, it translates two different ways. Sabbath of solemn rest, or simply Sabbath of Sabbaths. So it's known as the Sabbath of Sabbath. And you're saying, but what if it falls on a Tuesday, how is it that Sabbath of Sabbaths? So it was a Sabbath unto itself because of the acknowledgement of what it is that Jesus was going to come to do. Because we're looking back into the sanctuary system right now. So they were looking forward to the work that was to be done by the Lamb of God himself. And so it was a high time, but also a solemn time to realize that my big task was for me to say, Lord, I just want nothing between you and I. So the Jews, would you agree that they had an awful lot of rules in and around this Sabbath, like the seventh day Sabbath? Would you have liked to have lived under that system? I mean, we definitely need to honor the Sabbath, but the idea of having to pin something to your clothing so you didn't actually have to carry it, and things of that nature, and you can go, was it a little over 2,000 steps was a Sabbath day's journey, and anything beyond that, well, that was just unacceptable. Isn't it nice to know that the Sabbath is much, much more than that? Isn't it nice to know that the Sabbath is much, much more than that? Yeah. Because if it was just that, would the Sabbath be a delight, really? No. So, but here's something that's interesting. Whenever Yom Kippur would fall upon the seventh day Sabbath, all of the rules of the Sabbath were actually superseded by whatever it is that went on for Yom Kippur. It didn't throw them out, but I'll give you an example. So the Jews, one tradition of the Jews for the seventh day Sabbath was you were not to fast on the seventh day Sabbath. Did you know that? And the purpose of it was, Mike's like, I'm not fasting on seventh day Sabbath. No way. Give me my big tray, that thing that you carry around for potluck. he's let me use one of them. What do you call that thing? Is it the hog trough? What's that? Pig platter. Pig platter. I was close. Hog trough, pig platter. But the reason for that was they took literally that Sabbath was supposed to be called a delight. And if you were fasting, you may be worried about, well, man, my stomach's saying I'm hungry. But Yom Kippur was actually one of the big parts of it was a time of fasting. So whenever Yom Kippur would actually fall on the seventh day Sabbath, then it became a time of fasting for that Sabbath. And so it took preeminence over the rules of the seventh day Sabbath for that one Sabbath. Not throwing them out, just changing them. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 16, and we're just going to look into the Day of Atonement. And starting with verse 6, it says this, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. So in the sanctuary service, before the high priest was to be able to go in to the most holy place, he had to wash a certain way, he had to dress a certain way. He then, according to this, had to make atonement for his sins and make certain that that atonement was proper. Not so with Jesus, because he didn't need to make atonement for himself. The good news is he is Emmanuel, God with us, and he just simply makes atonement for us. Isn't that good news? Not so with Jesus. I'll come back to that. Verse 7, and it says, he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. So how many of you guys in your Bible, it says for the scapegoat? In your Bible, it says for the scapegoat. How many of your versions actually say for Azazel? Yours says for Azazel. That's actually probably more proper of interpretation, for Azazel. So would anybody like to actually talk about Azazel? Anybody studied into Azazel? Yeah, I mean, it's not something let's look up Azazel and get into that. But one for Azazel. So let me just talk to you about Azazel just a little bit. So there's a couple of ways of looking at it. One is its literal meaning, which Azaz is rugged. El, strong. So Azazel, rugged and strong. But what it's referring to specifically is the rugged mountains that the scapegoat was taken to and then thrown off of the cliff, which was very rugged and very strong. That's actually what the reference is to. So that's one meaning, but listen to this. This is a different meaning. And there's a few descriptions, and then I'm going to put them all together. Cancerous spirit. Cancerous spirit. Or the exaltation of self. Or fallen angel. So let's put them together into a statement. If in fact I am one who has a cancerous spirit, the spirit that Satan would give. Then I will exalt self, and then I will become just like a fallen angel. Or as Ty Gibson puts it, here's how he states it. One who exalts self and then plummets. I couldn't find plummet on there, but I was just going to tell you how Ty stated it. I like the way he stated it, but I tried to find it specifically and I couldn't. But if we harbor a cancerous spirit, we will exalt self and we'll become just like a fallen angel. But the problem with that is we'll go over to the very same cliff and to the rugged rocks below that the scapegoat falls over. And that's not the place we want to be, amen? So let's get back to Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 20, and when he had made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both hands on his head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Ultimately, somebody is going to bear the sins that were caused to every human being that's ever existed. So on first glance, we have this going on. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Isn't that good news? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. So are we clear on something? Can we achieve righteousness in and of ourselves? No, absolutely not. Because it says here, the only way that we can achieve righteousness is through the righteousness of Christ imparted to us. It's a gift of God himself. But it says he became sin for us. He bore our sins. But here's the good news. According to the sanctuary system, somebody else is going to have to answer for all the sins that have ever been caused. And all of that gets put onto him. So we're told that as Jesus was coming to the crucifixion, that he was overwhelmed in his very psyche. That's the word that's used when he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed in his psyche because the weight of sins were pressing down on him. One thing that's going to be part of the consuming of the scapegoat or Satan himself is going to be all of those sins are going to overwhelm him. And he's going to answer for what it is that he has caused in humanity. There's something else that's going on here too, and that's from the people. There's a lot of stuff that's mentioned. I want to just mention two. The first thing is this. Forgiveness was to happen. And I'll use a word. I believe that it was supposed to be radical forgiveness, me to you. That's what was going on in the people. So as we come into the Day of Atonement, do we have forgiveness that we need to both ask for and grant? And if that is, the answer to that is yes, then according to what the Day of Atonement says, make it happen. The Bible says this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If I can't give forgiveness, am I in a state where I can receive forgiveness? According to this, no. I need to be in a state to give and to receive both. And both of those need to go together according to the scriptures. And the other thing is I'm to be searching my heart, saying, Lord, is there anything between you and me? Now, I'm going to say something that's very, very, I think it's part of the human condition. I have it, you have it. But oftentimes, I don't necessarily search my heart to figure out if there's something between me and God. I sometimes search you guys to make sure that there's nothing between you and God. And we're all guilty of that at times. You know, so-and-so, yeah, they got issues. Day of Atonement language is, it's about me looking inward by way of the Holy Spirit saying, convict me of anything that's separating me from you, God. I'm concerned about you guys, but I'm supposed to be saying, Lord, I'm messed up enough. I'll put it to you this way. I am extremely good at living your lives for you, and I can't even live my own right. But I'm really good at living yours for you. And you know what? That for me is something that the Lord has said, that has to die in you, Sean. Because if you can't live your life on your own, how is it that you can look into somebody else's life and point out how messed up they are? And by the way, I'm not speaking to you. I'm just sharing what it is that the Lord has been trying to say to me. So welcome to my conversation with God. Anybody else identify with that? We're extremely skilled at living the lives of others. You know, if so-and-so would just... And on the Day of Atonement, we're told, and we shall join with David from Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so when we join with David in saying that, it's not about anybody else. It's about making certain, Lord, is there anything in my heart that's between you and me? That's proper preparation for Day of Atonement. And I will actually say it's proper preparation for the Lord's Supper. Same preparation. And this entire system, the entire sanctuary system for the Jews became an end to itself. Have you noticed that? The system itself was what it is that the Jews said, wow, we've got this and we've got that. So all I have to do is just, you know, bring my lamb or bring my goat or bring my bull, and depending on what it is that I was wanting to have forgiven, and all I have to do is that. But the entire time within the system was supposed to be pointing us to the Lamb of God, who was to pay the ultimate price. And that's the entirety of the sanctuary system. And so we look back at Israel and we say, they didn't get it. How could they be so blind as to not get it? But I have a question for all of us. How can we be so blind that we don't get it? We don't sometimes. Because the entire time, everything that we're experiencing today, what is it supposed to be pointing us to? The lamb the lamb that's been slain, but the lamb that's coming again. And so the entirety of that, of everything we're experiencing today, is intended for us to have our eyes open to what it is that God is doing and say, I need to be ready to see King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming in the clouds of glory. Because it's not about Hebrews chapter 9, it's not with the blood of excuse me, it's not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus' whole purpose is that we will see one thing, that there was something that was broken, there was something that was lost. So you guys know all about what's called the kinsman redeemer? The one who was the kinsman redeemer had to be of what position to the person who needed to be redeemed? It had to be the next of kin. And Scripture tells us very, very, very clearly that he calls us brethren. And he wants us to know that and understand that. He calls us brethren. So the whole sanctuary system was to point forward, but then from Jesus forward, it's supposed to be pointing to, I just want you to realize that I paid the kinsman redeemer price. That's redemption. And he was the only one who had the finances to do it. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So when we see everything that he's done, he's saying, it's not about all of the systems and all this stuff. So today, if we go through the emblems here, if we go through these, it's not about these. If we leave here today just saying, well, we got a nice cracker and a little drink of juice, to be blunt, it's not supposed to be about that. This is a remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. And we need to leave here understanding that that's the purpose of this. Jesus' body was broken for us, and his blood was shed for us. That's the price of our redemption. And he wants us to see that. So we need to make sure that we look into the system and the emblems, but come out of it realizing that we need to see Jesus. And for this reason, verse 15, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So ultimately, we need to leave here saying, I accept eternity with Jesus. I accept that. And so today, we're going to Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the cleansing of our sins permanently by the blood of Jesus Christ. And to me, that's Sabbath rest. Because I don't know about you, but I have at times walked in my life in ways that I had a duty. I had to do this. I had a checkbox. And it was frustrating. It was frustrating for me. Because I was strong enough. I had enough faith. And I didn't, and I didn't, and I didn't, and it was frustrating. But we're supposed to see through all of this that it's not to be frustrating. It's to be something that if we would just ask, Jesus would impart. I'm not going to do an appeal yet. Don't start the music. And that causes true Sabbath. That causes true Sabbath. Rest. Rest in knowing that what he says he will do. And communion, when we participate in this, is an acknowledgement of and a remembering of that completed work. I can't prove this officially, but I've heard this from somebody. And if it's not official, excuse me for going outside of the norm. But I have heard that the Day of Atonement back then was not complete until the high priest. So you guys know there were bells. There were bells all around the high priestly garment. And then, now this is folklore. I can't prove or disprove this, but there was a rope that was tied around the ankle, because if, in fact, the atonement wasn't complete for him, then he was going to be overwhelmed by the Shekinah glory, and he was going to die. And to the best of my knowledge, I never heard of a high priest actually having to be drug out underneath the veil. Amen. But once atonement was made and the sanctuary was cleansed, the high priest had to come out. And what is it that the high priest did once he came out? He assured the people that the atonement was complete. That ended the Day of Atonement. That ended Yom Kippur. And if we take that into our day, where's Jesus currently, according to Hebrews? Yeah, where is he specifically in terms of his ministry? The most holy place, right? As our and mediator, right? Yeah, but guess what? The high priest is going to come back out of the sanctuary one last time. And that's to come bring, take us home. And then the atonement is 100% complete. Isn't that good news? Amen. Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would come into our hearts, come into our minds today. And Lord, as we go through the communion service, may we celebrate the completed work that Jesus Christ did for us. And Lord, I just thank you that you're going to come back and take us home. That is going to be the final assurance of your complete work. Thank you for that. And so as we go through the communion service, Lord, I just pray that you would impress upon each one of our minds our need for letting you be that atonement in our lives every single day. But today is a very special day, and I just thank you for being here with us and for sending the Spirit to speak to our hearts and minds about who and what you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.